This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's behavior so you can get the very best results from your dog training. This show is brought to you by FamilyDogFusion.com. For professional advice, dog training tips, ebooks, and a video to teach your dog how to walk on a leash, go to FamilyDogFusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
Dog lovers, thanks again for joining me on today's show. I keep talking about it, and I see the results. We are creeping toward that 10,000 download mark, and I am very grateful to all of you that have subscribed and continue to share these shows. I am always looking for topics that will interest you and help you learn how to fuse your dog into your family. I am very excited about today's show. I have asked Linda Gregg, a fellow trainer and colleague, to be my guest on the podcast. Last time, we talked about working dogs, and today, we're going to talk about sporting dogs.
We would love for you to join our community of dog lovers. Log on to Facebook and search for our business page, Family Dog Fusion. There you will get updates as to what's going on with our dog-loving family and friends from all over the world. See events, our travels, or just information that you may need about the podcast, our book, or the new products we'll be releasing. That's Family Dog Fusion on Facebook. See you there.
This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's crazy behavior and brings a little sanity back into your life. I am Benny Copeland, trainer of people, behaviorist to the dogs, and just like you, the listener, a dog lover. Thank you all for tuning in. As I said earlier, I have a wonderful guest today. Linda Gregg is a trainer that works for PetSense Retail Center out of Gallatin, Tennessee. She has been training people and dogs for a little bit longer than I have, and she has some great experiences. Last time we were together, we talked about the difference between service dogs and therapy dogs and emotional support dogs. That was episode 199. If you haven't heard it, it's amazing. It's the interview with Linda Gregg. Linda, that show was very fun, and I think it turned out really well. I've had some very positive feedback. Now, I told you then that you have such an amazing background that I wanted to have you back on the show very soon. So thank you for agreeing to be on the show and talking about this new sporting topic.
Sure. Thank you, Benny. It's my pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited to be talking about sporting dogs.
All right, since we've warmed up our audience, let's get physical right after this.
Do you love what you hear in all of these podcasts? Does what Benny say just make sense to you? Well, if you want a more in-depth understanding of what it means when we say demystify your dog's behavior, then you need to go to Amazon.com and get Benny's book, Family Dog Fusion. Yes, we named the book after the website because we wanted things to be simple to remember. And most of all, we really want to fuse your dog into your family. In these few pages, Benny has decoded dog behavior. He's found a way to make what he has learned over the past 20 years of his life make sense when it comes to communicating with your dog. Also, the great thing about this book is you can mark up the pages, highlight the important stuff, bend the heck out of the spine even if you want to. It's yours. So we suggest to do all those things and then give it away and buy a new book when that happens. Family Dog Fusion on Amazon.com. Get your copy today.
Well, Linda, I looked through this book that you're writing, and what I looked through was basically a very small part, very small section. You had a great section, and last time that you were here, we talked about the working dogs, service dogs, emotional support dogs, and therapy dogs, and the difference between all of those. And it was such a great show. As I was reading through the book, I also noticed that you were very in-depth into some of these sports that dogs can do with their owners. I know that my daughter and I did agility training with Gabby, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, but I'd love for you to talk about one of the main sports that you have done and just let our audience know what it's all about, the training, the trials, and all that stuff.
I participated in the German sport of Schützen, and it consists of three components, track and protection and obedience. 20 years ago, I got a German Shepherd, and I wanted to do something with him more than just have him as a pet. So I found a club in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and every Sunday we went for training. He started out as a puppy doing bite work. And initially, training the dog to do bite work, you start off playing tug of war with them with a little piece of leather. And from the tug of war with the little piece of leather, you move on up to the sleeve with the dog biting the sleeve and getting the sleeve and basically winning and building his confidence.
So I read in your book, okay, that there was a process of doing the bite work where the trainer would hold the leather or the sleeve and then you would do something as well. Kind of give a little description of that because that was kind of cool.
Okay, when the trainer's holding the sleeve, I have the leash to the dog and I'm praising the dog and working him up and telling him what a good boy he is, which is basically building his confidence. So when his confidence is all built, the handler or the trainer, the helper, lets go of the piece of leather, the puppy or dog gets the leather and he goes parading around the grounds proud of himself because he just won a piece of leather. And then it just builds from there. The protection work, the dogs really enjoy. And I think in my own opinion, Schützen is really basically about obedience. The dog does bite and it does track, but ultimately it follows the owner's command. Because even when the dog is biting the sleeve, it has to be willing to let go when the owner gives him the out command. And how many dogs that we know of that won't let go when the owner asks them to? But Schützen dogs will, and it's a game to them. The ones I've seen were not abused, even though they're trained hard and I had never saw any abuse with it. One of my favorite parts of the Schützen deal is called the courage test. And it's because a lot of dogs they have found will go after somebody that's running away, but not many dogs will actually have the courage or wherewithal to run towards a helper screaming and waving a stick, running dead at him. So what would happen with the courage test is, the handler with the German Shepherd would be at one end of a field and the helper would be at the other end of the field. And the helper is yelling and screaming and telling the guy handler to send his dog. And the handler's actually working the dog up, patting his sides, encouraging him, getting him all ready to go. So almost simultaneously, the helper starts running towards the dog and the handler lets the dog go. So basically, the helper and the dog are running towards each other and they meet in the middle and the dog, you know, leaps up and grabs the sleeve for a good bite.
So, I read a lot of this in that part of the book that you were writing. And you also talked about like the different levels of training and trials. I know in agility that there's a lot of different levels. I'm going to talk about it a little bit too. We did the novice training, but they had, and this is a long time ago, so a lot of stuff may have changed by now, but I think it'll give our audience a good idea of what the sport is as the dog builds into the higher and higher levels. With the agility, I know the highest level was the masters, and they would have the Masters of Agility champion, and they called it mock. So I know there's probably different levels as well in the Schützen training, and would like to understand a little bit about the levels that you went through, maybe some, you know, good examples of things that you saw and that you did when you were going through the trials, and also just talk about, like, what's the ultimate level? Like, what is it that you would see? Now, I know that I've never seen it on TV. They might show it somewhere on TV. I've seen agility trials all over TV, but I don't know if that they've shown that. And I think that there's a little, a little bit of agility, within that training as well. It's the tracking, the bite, and the agility as well, right? So, if you will talk about all that and all the levels.
The levels of Schützen, and this has been 20 years ago, so I think they're actually not called by this anymore. But when I was doing it, it was Schützen 1, Schützen 2, and Schützen 3. Schützen 3 being the highest level there is. And with each progressing level, the requirements became more difficult and more difficult. Each level had track and protection and obedience, but they were more simple. So with like the Schützen 1, the track would maybe be straight with maybe a turn and pick up one article And with the Schutzen, with the bite work, he would have to search two blinds. And blinds are little teepee-looking things with the helper standing on the inside of the blind. So the dog goes to one and it's empty. He goes to the next one and the helper's standing there with the sleeve and he bites the sleeve. With the obedience, they have to do like the basic commands like a sit, a down, and I can't remember in the first one if they actually have to go retrieve an article. And as it progresses, they actually go over like a 6 foot, like in the agility, like a 6 foot, what is the word I'm looking for? An A-frame. They climb up and go down.
Yeah.
And they have to bring a dumbbell back. And German Shepherds are so smart. I watched one gentleman, his dog, he threw the dumbbell for it and the dog went up over the A-frame, went to find the dumbbell and couldn't find it. So the dog went to where the pile of dumbbells were under the A-frame, picked one up and brought it back to his handler. And in Germany, in order for a dog to be bred or anything, they have to be at least Schutzen 1, and most of the males are Schutzen 3. And even if the dogs are being shown in the German-style show ring, they have to have some form of bite work or Schutzen trial.
So what would the ultimate be, like the ultimate Schutzen trial?
The ultimate would be Schutzen 3.
Which is, what do they require?
The Schutzen 3, they have 6 blinds. And the helper's usually in the last one, so the dog has to start at one end of a field and go from blind to blind to blind back and forth till he finds the helper, and then he bites. And then the handler asks the dog to out, and the dog outs, and he presents the dog handler the sleeve and the wand, I believe, and then they walk so far, and the... He doesn't take off the sleeve. He gives him the wand. And then they walk so far, and the helper takes off running. The dog goes after him, catches him. The handler has the dog out again, and he goes and he gets the helper, and they walk side by side. And even though the dog has just bit this guy, the threat is no longer there. So the dog's walking calmly beside him, paying attention to the helper. And they wind it up by presenting like the wand and all to the judge, and then the dog is led off the field. And, you know, in my memories, you know, not what it used to be. So this has been 20 years ago. So there may be mistakes and there may be things I remember incorrectly. But if that's the case, you know, I apologize for my lapse.
Well, I feel like I'm going to be the same way when I talk about agility, so I'm not worrying about that. I feel like that what you've done is you've represented really well about what that would look like or what someone would be expecting if they wanted to do that. Typically, what type of dogs did you see and were the better dogs for doing that type of training? I know it's not just German Shepherds. What other type of dogs as well?
I saw a lot of German Shepherds. I saw some Rottweilers. I saw some Malinois. I saw, Dobermans, Cane Corsos, just any kind of dog with drive can be taught. I've actually seen videos of Corgis, believe it or not, doing Schutzen work. And that is so interesting, as little and short as they are.
So when you said any dog with a drive, what does that mean to you? Like, what is a drive? What does that look like for a dog to have a drive?
You want a dog that loves the ball, loves to go after the ball, a dog that's willing to play tug of war and just wants to go after it, go after that little piece of leather, and barking. Barking's a big thing with the puppies. That's how they decide which puppy to give the sleeve, the leather to. The little puppy that's barking the most is the one that generally gets the piece of leather.
Well, I know my Jack Russell then, Beans, would definitely be good at that because she's barking all the dang time. So maybe I should get her into some Schutzen training. We'll have the first Jack Russell. I think it's interesting that you said Corgi, really about the drive as far as agility is concerned. The drive is about wanting to chase that ball, wanting to have that focus on whatever it is. And like you said, the tug of war with the leather, things like that. So Having a dog, having a drive is very important in a lot of things. You know, I know Oz, he doesn't have a huge ball drive, but he has a desire to learn. He really wants to learn. So even those times that I'm picking up the leash and I'm working with Beans, he's right there wanting to work with me. So he has a lot of work drive and he loves to do that. But as far as like chasing the ball, stuff like that, you know, of course now he's 12, he could care less, but anyway, so thank you very much about that. We're going to actually have you talk about another thing that you've done later. But right now, I want to talk about agility. My dog, Gabby, it was actually my daughter's dog, Gabby, was a border collie. And she was an agility dog. And when we first started training, we did the very basic obedience. She learned and loved it so much. And it became this thing of, what else can we do? I mean, she's just so hyper, so driven. You know, we'd walk her 6 miles a day and then throw the ball 150 times and she still wanted to go, you know? So we were like, what else could we do? And what we found for her physically, the more we did, the more she had endurance for. But when we would work her mentally, that really tended to wear her out. So we wanted to get her into some mental stimulation. So we started doing agility. We started indoor, working in a class with a bunch of other people, and it was just kind of a fun class. They did the very basic things. They had the walk, which was about a 12 to 15 inch wide board that the dog would walk over, about 10 feet long. And then they also had jumps. The jumps in agility are for dog. They measure at their shoulders. They call it the withers. And so whatever the height of the withers is of the dog, that's the height of the jump. And so every dog can be at a different level. So we did jumps, of course, starting out very low and then building up. They also have a tire. And basically it looks like a tire swing that the dog has to jump through. They have the A-frame, which you talked about, which they go up and over, and they actually have to touch a certain part of the frame on both sides in order for it to count. They had, I'm not going to get everything right here. So they had the tunnel. The tunnel, when we first started, was basically straight. You could almost look through and see from one end to the other, and it started out at about 5 to 8 feet long, and then it eventually goes to about 20 feet long. And in excellence of agility, or the top level, it has to be 20 feet long, and it's at a full curve or an S curve, so the dog can't see from one end to the other. The other thing is that they did was the weave poles. The weave poles were kind of fun. When we first started, it was 4 to 6 weave poles for the lower levels. Some of the lower levels now don't even do the weave poles. I know they started that before we quit, but the dog has to go through the poles on either side of the pole, kind of like the slalom skiing thing. I'm trying to think what else was in what other things. I know the jump. Okay, so what they would do is they'd set up a course, and they would tell you at the beginning of the day what the course was going to be. And of course, you could practice it a few times, but the course was always different. For the lower levels, which Gabby was a novice, for the lower levels, they only had a particular number of obstacles, and they were all separated and really easy to get to. Like, the pattern was easy. As you got to higher levels, novice, intermediate, excellence, and then masters, I think is what it was then. I think they may have changed some now. I don't know. But as you would go to higher levels, they would actually put 2 or 3 obstacles side by side so that you had to direct the dog to the correct obstacle. And if the dog did the wrong obstacle or knocked over a bar or something like that, they were disqualified. And it was fun. You, of course, had to be running along with the dog and directing the dog and learning how to use your body language as well as verbal commands to get the dog to go to the right obstacles, like the jumps and the poles and the tent. Oh, the teeter. I forgot the teeter totter. So they had that teeter totter thing where it's sitting on one side, the dog has to walk over, make the teeter go down, and they can't jump off of it early either. So that's another thing on the agility. It's super fun. It's one of those things that's a high activity, kind of like with Shih Tzu, sounds like. There's a lot of activity with both the handler or the owner and the dog. And, you know, not necessarily as the owner always the handler. Some people have handlers for their dogs, but typically I think that that's what the case is. And for us, that's what the whole fun part of it was, is to get out there and enjoy Gabby and enjoy the time that she was doing with the training, have something to do that would stimulate her and get her to feel, you know, that she's learning something and doing something, and wear her the heck out, because, you know, she had so much energy, especially as a puppy. We did find that she had hip dysplasia as we were doing this, so we only did the novice level. We never went any further. Plus, my daughter got a little bit older, and, you know, once they get about 13, they're kind of useless. So that kind of went by the wayside. But Gabby always did enjoy doing that, and the agility trials and things like that were really fun. So, Linda, before you go into the next thing, I think we're going to talk about Barn Hunt. You're going to talk about that, which is something that I had never known about. And I saw that you had written about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. It looks fun. So definitely something I think Beans would really love. But anyway, before you go into that, I want you to talk about some of the things that went on in any of these trials and the training, and, you know, things that you saw and how you felt about maybe some of your handlers and trainers, and just give some good general advice to our listeners, our dog lovers out there, about if they're going to get into something like this, you know, what is it that they would want to look for, or how they would want to maybe, you know, handle different situations?
My advice to anybody out there that's going to get into any type of sport or any type of dog activity is to enjoy it. Make sure you enjoy it. Make sure your dog is enjoying it. And if any trainer makes you feel uncomfortable or you're not sure that their methods are right for you, then be your dog's advocate and don't do it.
Very good. And I noticed that, and why I asked that question, because I noticed that in the description of your book, or what you had written about Schutz and training, that how much that the dog really enjoyed doing what they're doing. And it was, they were doing it for the love and the fun of it. And that was a big thing, that we had a really good trainer, and she would emphasize us having fun more than anything else. There was one point where we were in training and just doing one of the classes, and everybody got to kind of choose what they were, how they were going to do a class each week. And this one lady made us do all the class with no words. We couldn't make any noises or any sounds or anything. So we had to use body language. Well, there was this one lady, she had Dachshunds, and they would go through the tunnel, and they would be really slow in the tunnel because they loved being in the tunnel, you know, so they would just kind of take their time. So what she would normally do is run to the other end of the tunnel, and she would wave her arms and scream, come on, let's go, you know, and just like wave her arms and jump up and down. And of course, the dogs would come out and be excited. And she couldn't make any noise. So it was hilarious to watch her do all the same body language with no noise, you know, trying to get those dogs motivated to come out of the tunnel. And those are the kind of fun things that we really did and really had. And that was the one great thing about Gabby. Even when we started realizing that she had the hip dysplasia and that she was going to be in a lot of pain, she still loved doing it. We had to be the ones that quit so that we didn't hurt her, because she would have done it for the rest of her life and just worked through the pain because she loved it that much. And you would see, when you would take off her collar, she would turn into a little engine, like her whole body would start to vibrate, you know? So it really is about, number one, have fun. Have fun with what you're doing. If you feel uncomfortable with what someone's telling you to do, or how to train a certain way, or do something in a way that you feel uncomfortable, or if it frustrates you or whatever, make sure, check yourself, trust yourself, and quit. Don't do it. Don't do what they say. There's always someone out there that can train in a higher, you know, higher form, or just for fun. You don't have to do it for competition by any means. There are so many clubs, so many things out there, and they do these things just for fun. You know, the highest level, you see it on TV. I mean, those are the things that you're going to see on TV. These people have been training and training. And if you watch, these people are having a blast with their dogs. You don't see a whole lot of seriousness. Now, with that said, it is a sport. And unfortunately, people, when they get involved in sports, they want to cheat. They want to do their, you know, things that are unreasonable and maybe even not good for the dogs. And, you know, if that's things that are going on in a club or something that you see, definitely report that, or, you know, definitely get out of that club as quickly as possible or away from that. So make sure that you trust your instincts in all of that. And that's something that you emphasized in the writings that you did a few times. And I want to make sure that we said that as well. So, okay. So we have, I'm going to check the time here. We have about 5 minutes left. So let's talk a little bit. So why don't you talk a little bit about Barn Hunt, what that is. I'm going to talk a little bit about Rally or Rally-O, which is something that I did when I was with Gabby as well. And then we'll just mention some other sports, and then we will wrap it up. All right. So talk about Barn Hunt, please.
I have a corgi that she's 12 years old now, and for her entire life, she has high drive. She loves to find things. She loves the balls, and it's, you can't keep anything from this dog if she wants it. I can put balls on a table, and she will find something to climb on despite her short legs to get it. So when I found out they were having Barn Hunt training not too far from my house, I decided to take my corgi, Kara, to Barn Hunt just so we could do something for fun. And along with Kara, I took my bull terrier, Zeus, just to get him out and see if he would like doing it. We started off with Barn Hunt. Barn Hunt, basically, the dogs are finding rats in bales of hay. The rats aren't loose in the bales of hay, and the rats are not hurt. The rats are in little canisters, kind of like what you put your deposits in at the bank. They have the rats stay in the canisters with their litter, and the rats are used to it. So, I mean, to them, it doesn't bother them. And the dog basically has to go through the bales of hay and go to the canister that has the rat in it and let you know that that's where the rat is. And along with the one canister containing the rat, they will have other canisters that have like paper from the rat's cage or something with the rat's scent on it, seeing if the dog can determine where the scent is the strongest. And she did it. They start out with three canisters lined up in a row, and I let my corgi go. She ran under a bale of hay, and she went right to the canister that had the rat. She did that three times, and they said, oh, yes, well, she passed her instinct, so she can do this. So as part of the Barn Hunt, they have to be able to climb up on bales of hay. The rats can be up on bales of hay. They can be in tunnels. They can be off to the side in bales of hay. They can just be basically anywhere in this little contained area, and I'm not really sure of the dimensions, but it's a contained area because the dog has to go off leash. And I think with the really advanced level, there can be up to 6 or 7 little canisters, and 1 out of 5 of them will contain rats. So you never know if one canister is going to contain rats or 5. It's the judge's discretion. So you have to really trust your dog. There will be, say, like 7 containers, but only maybe 1 has a rat and 6 are empty, or 5 may have the rat and 2 empty. So you never know. And during the competitions, you are timed for speed and accuracy. And if the dog falsely alerts and makes a mistake, you know, you're excused from the ring. But she loved it. She really did. My bull terrier wasn't quite so enthusiastic. Kara would be hanging out the window waiting her turn to find a rat.
That's awesome. Definitely, that's something I definitely would want Beans to do or try. That sounds so fun. I've actually just started, Linda, getting back with Beans doing the obedience. I think I told you that when she was 12 weeks old, I went through all the obedience with her. She learned everything within like 30 days. And so I thought, you know, I'm not going to train you. I'm just going to let you stop and kind of live your life for a while. Well, I picked up the leash and started training the other day. And so now we're back on our daily routine. She picked it up. She's still doing the sits and the downs, which I'm very, very excited about, but also get it that she's not understanding the full concept of what she's doing, because the first time she did a down, I said down and Oz dropped down. So she dropped down. So, but she's getting it. Like, she remembers a lot of the stuff, and I'm really pleasantly surprised and shocked that we're a lot further along than I would have expected, you know, starting. I didn't even start Gabby with full training and everything till right at 10 months old too. So this has been kind of fun. I'm going to talk about, just a few minutes to talk about one thing that we did. It's called Rally-O. At least it was called Rally-O back then. It may be called Rally now. I know I've actually trained one of my clients to actually do the competition, and I have done a couple of the competitions, the novice level, the lower level. I'm not even sure. I know that it's more obstacles, or they don't call them obstacles there. They call them something like stops or areas or something like that in the rally competition. But what you do is the dog is judged on 50% and the owner or the handler is judged on 50%. So the dog is actually on leash, and then you have to do things like at the first area, you may have to stop in a heel, which means that the dog has to sit when you stop automatically. And then you might do figure eights and the dog has to stay at your side. I know as it got more advanced, you would have to do a right about face, and the dog had to figure out how to get back on your left side. And you have to handle the dog as well. So how you're handling the leash, how you're handling the dog, and how the dog responds to an about right face is all judged in that. And those are fun things to do. Like when I have a client that is a little bit better and doing the homework more than most, I actually can get to levels of the about right face, or having the dog learn to do a finish, which is where the dog walks around and sits at the left side when you're standing still, things like that, and go to a little more intermediate and advanced level of training. And Rally-O really does that. So all these, I think at the base level, we did 8 areas where we had to do basically basic obedience stuff, sits and downs, come where the dog would have to come on the leash and sit. Things like that. So doing very basic things with the dog. And then as you got better and better in the more higher levels of obedience. And again, not only is the dog judged, but the owner is judged as well, or the handler is judged as well. So there's just some fun things. There were some other sports that we're going to get to if we had time. I don't think we have a whole lot of time. There's a sport called flyball. It's where the dogs jump over little gates and grab a ball and come back, and they play in teams of 4. So they're all timed how the whole team does it. There is herding, which I think most people have seen, especially if you've watched Babe, where the dog herds the sheep or cows or whatever it is. And then there's also dock diving, which I've seen on TV, and it's where a handler will throw a what do they call that? I don't even know what they call that thing. They throw the toy or whatever off of dock, and the dog has to dive off the end of the dock, and they get rated on how far they dive off the end of the dock. So those are some other sports. There are many, many other sports that we have not even touched on or gotten into. I know I looked it up on Wikipedia, and there were like 100 different dog sports that a bunch I'd never heard of. Is there anything else that you would like to say or talk about?
I would like to reiterate, have fun with your dog. Make sure you're having fun. Make sure your dog's having fun. And with regards to rally, I saw it trained one time, and to me, done properly, it looks like a dance, because as you move, the owner moves forward, the dog moves around them, they move backwards, and it's just poetry in motion to watch when done right.
Yep, it was fun. And, you know, remember, all of these sports, anything that you do with your dog is supposed to enhance your communication and your relationship with your dog. And that's really what a dog is about, is enhancing your life, and learning how to communicate with your dog always helps that. So in summary, today we discussed a few fun activities that you can do with your dog. You discovered that sports and training can be fun and fulfilling. You also learned that you have to trust your instincts when it comes to competition.
If you would like to contact us, we have a link on our website, familydogfusion.com. We would love to hear your opinion, and we value your feedback. So again, familydogfusion.com. Or if you just want to send us a direct message, you can do that via email. It goes to familydogfusion@gmail.com. Your comments are important to us and help us with future shows. Thank you for listening to our show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends and family. Also, go ahead and give us a 5-star review because it helps others find our show. And frankly, we just love to read them. This show is produced by Eric Janer and show notes are created by Carissa Dolan. Thank you to all of the Family Dog Fusion team and our affiliate sponsor, Healthy Paws Pet Insurance. For your free pet insurance quote, go to familydogfusion.com/insurance. And go to familydogfusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
All right, everybody. Go give your dog a sporting chance.
And be impeccable with your dog.